I don't know about you, but I think for many people, when they begin to try to study God's Word, they naturally gravitate towards the New Testament. And I think there's many understandable reasons why we tend to do this. For one, the New Testament says a lot about Jesus Christ. And if we want to learn about who Jesus is, what Jesus did, and what Jesus taught, then it makes sense to open up our New Testaments and think about Jesus Christ. Also, we know this. The Bible has two major covenants, an Old Covenant, an Old Testament, and a New Covenant, a New Testament. We live under the New Testament, the New Covenant. So it makes sense to open up this New Testament, this New Covenant, to think about God's will for our lives today. God's precepts, God's promises, as they relate to our lives today in the 21st century. So that makes sense. But I think if we're also honest, we'd have to admit this. That there's this idea that somehow the Old Testament is just boring. It's just outdated. It's just dull. It's just tedious. And it's far removed from our circumstance, our culture, and our needs today. And for those reasons, we often don't spend near enough time studying and exploring our Old Testament. But God has chosen to give us the Old Testament as well as the New. And in fact, we have more Old Testament than we have New Testament. And we would do well, as we're doing this week, to open up that Old Testament and think about what God has put therein. Do you recall in Luke chapter 24 what happened? Yes, our Lord was raised from the grave. That third day, that triumphant day, death could not hold the King of Kings. And our Lord was raised by the power of God. But do you know what happened in Luke 24? Following that great morning of our Lord being raised from the grave, we find two disciples traveling down that Emmaus road. They were discouraged. They were dejected. They were disheartened. And there is this implication, there's a bit of doubt as to whether or not Jesus really has been raised from the grave, as some are claiming. Our Lord appeared to those two men. And as our Lord walked with those two men, the Bible says that He began with Moses and all the prophets and began to explain and expound the things concerning, you guessed it, Himself. Whenever individuals need to be encouraged, whenever individuals need their faith to be renewed and their focus to be recentered, Jesus took them to the Old Testament. And He took those individuals to the prophets. If you want to be encouraged to know God, if you want to be encouraged to serve God, if you want to be encouraged to know His Son Jesus Christ and relish the salvation He has to offer, then think about the Old Testament prophets. But who were the prophets? We've seen the importance of prophecy already a little bit, and we'll see more of that later on. But who were these men called the prophets? And what exactly is a prophet? And what, if any, application do these prophets have for our lives as we seek to serve God and live for God today? Let's use our time to examine two things, just two things this morning about the Old Testament prophets. We'll think, number one, about the commission of the prophets. And we'll explore three important words to help us understand who and what a prophet was. Then, number two, we'll think about some practical things. We'll think about the prophet's character and unpack five observations that will help us to mimic these prophets as we live for God today. So what is the prophet? Number one, let's think about the commission of the prophets. In our Bibles, there's at least three important words that come to the surface as we seek to answer this very important question. They all start with an S. The first word is the word spokesman. Prophets were spokesmen. They were simply messengers of God. They were speaking for God, on behalf of God, to the people, and for the people. These men, therefore, were the very mouthpiece of God. There are two verses that come to mind. They're both found in the book of Exodus. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 16, as well as Exodus chapter 7, verse 1, the idea of a mouthpiece is connected to the idea of being a prophet. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 16, you recall Moses. He was called to be that great deliverer of God's people, but he wasn't very eager at first. He began to make all these various excuses, one of which was this: I'm not eloquent of speech. God had a solution. And God raised up Aaron to be his prophet. And when you again pair Exodus 4, verse 16 with Exodus chapter 7, verse 1, God told Moses that, Moses, you're going to be to Aaron as God. You will give the words, he'll be the mouthpiece, and he'll speak the words. Prophets were the mouthpiece of God. They were the messengers of God. They would take these special messages from heaven that God would give to them, and they would then deliver those messages to the people. Now, as Hiram just explained, this involved at least two things. As we often know, it involved foretelling. They sometimes would foretell as they would deliver God's messages, future events: the birth of Jesus Christ, the destruction of nations, judgment, various things like that. But more often than just that, their preaching as messengers, as spokesmen, involves simply forth-telling, simply preaching, calling God's people to repentance, addressing various sins among the people then during those days. So there was foretelling from these spokesmen, these mouthpieces, these messengers, but more often it was just simply foretelling. So there's our first word. It's the word spokesman. The second word is the word seer. Not seers, but seer. S-E-E-R. These men were the mouthpieces of God, delivering messages from God to the people, sometimes future, most of the time contemporary, and they received these messages oftentimes through visions from heaven. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 9, the Word of God says that prophets were formerly called seers in Israel. The word seer denotes someone who was given access through their vision and through their hearing to things that lie beyond the normal domain of sight and sound. They were given special insight, special vision, special understanding, special knowledge of things that normal people just could not see and could not hear. Thus they were called seers. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1, the Word of God says that we have the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, that he did see concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In Obadiah chapter 1, and Nahum chapter 1, we have the same exact phraseology: the visions that these men saw concerning the various people and places to whom they were preaching. In Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1, the Word of God says something very interesting. Before that well-known prophecy about the church in the last days that would come to pass from the Lord's house, the mountain of the Lord's house, that prophecy is prefaced by saying the words that Isaiah saw. Seeing words? That's because he was a seer. He was a spokesman, a messenger for God who saw these visions from heaven. We have our third word, though, and it's the word spirit. They were spokesmen for God, the mouthpiece of God. They would predict, but they would also preach. They received these messages from heaven, oftentimes in supernatural visions, and it was all because of the Spirit's working in their lives. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, Peter says that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. And what that means is those prophets did not sit around at home dreaming up those messages. They did not sit around at home thinking about what they're going to preach and prophesy and tell the people. Instead, the Word of God tells us that these men were borne along, they were carried along by the Holy Spirit of God. Through this inspiration process, through these visions, through this revelation, they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. When you read the Old Testament over and over and over and over again, you see the Spirit's working in the lives of these prophets. For example, in Numbers 24, verse 2, the Bible speaks of the Holy Spirit coming upon a prophet. In Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 5, the Holy Spirit falls upon a prophet. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 18, the Holy Spirit is clothing a prophet, as one will be clothed with clothes, just as you and I are wearing this morning. The Word of God says in Numbers chapter 11, verse 29, the Holy Spirit was given to the prophets. These men were inspired by God, and thus they received those messages from God. They spoke for God, all by inspiration of God. That, in a nutshell, is a prophet, a spokesman, a seer, inspired by the Spirit. Now, folks, those men received their inspired heavenly messages from God. They stood up and they spoke those messages to the people without fear, without favor. They preached courageously and with confidence. And these men made a great impact in their culture and even today because of these messages. God's challenging each of us not to accept a supernatural message from heaven, but to open up our Bibles and acquaint ourselves with the message that He's preserved. To know this message as these men knew their messages, and with courage and confidence stand up and speak God's Word in our culture today. So that's the commission of the prophets. But I think we can take this even deeper this morning. And I think we can open up some great application for our individual lives as we learn from these Old Testament prophets. Yes, that's what a prophet was, but what really made a great prophet? Yes, they were seers and spokesmen inspired by the Spirit, but what was it about those special men and sometimes women that made them great prophets of God? Notice 5 points about their character. Number one, they faithfully answered their call. True, we do have some prophets like Jonah who did not faithfully answer their call. You recall Jonah, don't you? God said to arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Jonah 1:1-4. But the Word of God says twice in that text that Jonah arose to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He was not trying to run away from God, as it were. He was trying to get so far away from God's manifest presence in Jerusalem, to get so far out of dodge, away from where God has put His name, where God has put His presence, where God's people are, to get so far out of dodge. If that's your will, God, you'll have to choose someone else. I'm out of here. I'm nowhere to be found. Yes, we have prophets like Jonah who were not faithful in answering their call. But think about this text, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Isaiah sees this incredible vision of God that inaugurates and prompts and motivates his call to be a prophet. And in this vision of God, he sees all these things about God. Then he finally hears God speak, and God's asking a question. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? When you think about that vision that Isaiah saw, that question almost makes you want to laugh. The God in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 and following, needs someone to go for him? A God sitting on the throne? A God who has angelic hosts crying out, holy, 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 the Lord of hosts? A God who is so great and so powerful that heaven is shaking and quaking at His presence, and yet God says, who will go for me? Isaiah says, here I am, Lord. Send me. Men like Isaiah faithfully answered their call. They knew who God was. They knew how important God's work was. And they gave themselves willingly as instruments to be used in the service of God. Folks, the church needs folks like Isaiah. The church needs people like you and like me who will say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Send me. Help me to be a servant. Make me a servant. Make me just like you. So number one, these men faithfully answered their call. Number two, these men were concerned about their messages. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 11, the Word of God reminds us, again, that these prophets were not omniscient. They did not know everything. They wanted to know more, in fact, about the things they were prophesying. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, the Word of God says that those individuals searched diligently, they inquired, they looked, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ in them did signify. They did not know everything. There were some dots that were not fully connected in their mind. They did not have the whole complete picture, but they wanted to know more. And when you read 1 Peter chapter 1, 10, 11, Peter says they weren't so much prophesying about things in these predictive sense, they're going to impact them, but things are going to impact you. The question is this. Are we as concerned about their messages as they are? How much time do we spend in the church studying the prophets? How much time do we spend unpacking these messages that these men wanted to know more? Not enough. How concerned are we about learning and investigating and creating a fuller knowledge of the things that these men were so passionate about preaching? We ought to be. They were concerned about their messages. Number three, these men cared about their people. When you read the prophets, you have to see how much these people loved their fellow man. Their hearts were aching. Their tears were falling over the sins of their fellow man. When you read the book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk is in mental anguish because he sees so much injustice in the streets. He sees how God's law is lax, how justice is perverted, how his fellow man is being mistreated, and he's crying out to God, Lord, how long will you not hear? How long will you not help? Because he cared about the people. Read the book of Jeremiah, that long, lengthy book, then Lamentations. And what is Jeremiah doing over and over again? He's weeping and lamenting over Jerusalem. He has a front row seat for what God is doing to punish His people because of their sins. And he is weeping and lamenting and mourning over what is happening. They cared about their people. In Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17, God told the prophet Ezekiel, Ezekiel, I am making you a watchman for Israel. The word watchman tells us something important about caring about your people. In that day and time, a watchman was very needed. They would stand guard and they would look out for the city. If an enemy was coming, they would sound the alarm. They would protect the people. But sometimes they would not do their job. They would not warn the people. They would not sound the alarm. And they themselves were killed as well. And God says, Ezekiel, I am setting you up not just as a prophet, as a seer, as a spokesman inspired by my Spirit, but Ezekiel, I'm setting you up as a watchman. I want you to watch out for my people and in so doing warn them about their sins. You see, sometimes caring about people means you must warn people. You must be that watchman. You must, in love and tenderness and care, say, You're off course right now. Your life is out of step with God's will right now. I'm looking out for you, brother. I'm looking out for you, sister. That's what sometimes has to happen if we care about our people. The prophets truly did care about their people. Number four, the prophets preached courageously. Read about those prophets. They did not have things easy. In fact, their work was very difficult. And in James chapter 5, James appeals to the patience of the prophets. They labored under hard, extremely difficult circumstances. Their preaching was not heard. Their cries for repentance were not heeded. Their desires to help, their outstretched arms were turned away. Over and over and over again, these men were abused. They were mistreated. They were even killed. John the Baptizer, one of the greatest prophets who ever lived, was beheaded just for preaching God's word. Jesus Christ, the true prophet, the ultimate prophet, was nailed to the cross of Calvary because of his redemptive work. Folks, these men kept on going though. They didn't stop. They didn't give in. They didn't compromise their messages. They preached courageously. And folks, the church today needs that same resilient spirit that so stirred and moved those prophets. We cannot lay down and quit when the going gets tough. We can't change our message when we face opposition and roadblocks and difficulty. We can't just serve God in the easy times, the good times. We must serve God especially in the hard times, the bad times. That's what those prophets did. And that's what made them great prophets of God. But then one last point. They were men, number five, of noble character. I get it. I think sometimes we read the Bible, we read about men like Isaiah and Jeremiah, people like Daniel, people like John the Baptizer, Jesus, the Apostle Paul, Peter. We read about these great men of God. And we think, I could never be like that. I could never have those qualities. They're somehow super saints. Oh, they're way up here, but I'm way down here. I could never, ever be like those individuals. In James chapter 5, verse 17, James referred to Elijah as a man of like passions, just like you and just like me. Elijah? Elijah, who is used in Matthew chapter 17 by Jesus Christ Himself as He's there on the Mount of Transfiguration, and the Father says, "Hear Him, hear Jesus." What is happening here? We have Peter saying, let's build a tabernacle. Let's build a place of worship. One for you, Jesus. One for Moses. One for Elijah. He was so synonymous with the prophets that here is Peter saying, let's build a tabernacle, a place of worship for Elijah. For a Jew to think about Elijah, he was just synonymous with the prophets. He was the prophet of all prophets. He was the one who had that great victory at Mount Carmel. He was the one who preached faithfully, though his life was in constant peril. And yet the Word of God says, that man is just like you. And he's just like me. And in 2 Kings, Elijah is also called a man of God. You can be a man of God. You can be a woman of God and still be a human being. With weaknesses and frailties, times where you fall down but you get back up, you can still be a man or woman of God, because being of noble character does not mean perfection. It doesn't mean someone who never gets discouraged. It doesn't mean someone who never has a bad day. It doesn't mean someone who never wants to quit. Being of noble character is, as 1 Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, 20 and 21, these prophets that God chose, they were holy men of God. They gave themselves to God's will, not just in their preaching, but in their practice as well. Their messages reflected reverence for what God said, but their manner of life did as well, because they sought to order their own lives based on "thus saith the Lord." When you look in that spiritual mirror, though you're not a prophet today like they were, do these same qualities become evident in your life? Are you someone who has answered God's call to give your life to Him? Have you answered God's call to use yourself as an instrument for God's service? Are you concerned about God's message? Do you want to know more? Do you want to learn and investigate and connect those dots in your own mind? Do you care about your people enough that you would, even if it called for it, stand up and be a watchman and warn someone about sin? Will you preach and work and serve courageously, not just in the good times, but in the bad times especially? Will you seek to be someone who is going to have that noble character? Not perfection, but steadfast direction of living for God, serving God, not just in what you preach, but in how you practice your life too. Friends, if we do that, if we'll preach God's Word and live God's Word, we, like these prophets, can make a great impact in this world today. Who were the prophets? They weren't perfect people. They weren't super saints. They weren't just individuals unlike you and me. They were ordinary people who gave themselves to God, who were used as spokesmen for God. They saw messages from God, and they were inspired by the Spirit of God. And all of these wonderful qualities made them what they were, as faithful servants of God. I am thankful, aren't you, for the Word of God? I'm thankful for these inspired men who were prophets, because they helped me know God. They helped me know God's love for His people. They helped me know God's promises and God's precepts, and yes, even God's warnings. And these men challenge me, and they challenge you, to be who God is calling us to be in the 21st century today. So come back this afternoon for our worship. Stay around for that period of worship. Come back Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and let's unpack these powerful prophets together. And folks, prepare to be amazed. Prepare to be blown away in a certain sense at how applicable and relevant these texts really are for our lives today. That's what is a prophet. Thank you for being here this morning for our Bible class time together.